The next kina is kina Chof Zayin. It's a kina we've not done before. Oz bin Luis Sefek, Rav Yisrael.
And this kina is described by Blazar Kale, a conversation between Yirmiyahu Novi and Klal Yisrael, who takes on the form of a beautiful but frightening lady. And the kina tells us that at the time of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Yirmiyahu HaNovi met this woman and he didn't recognize who she was. Is she a human being? Or is she a Shindalad, a demon? Because although while she looked very beautiful, at the same time she appeared to be very, very frightening, had an unhuman appearance to her. And Yirmiyahu HaNovi asked her, "Who are you?" And she said, "I am Klal Yisrael. I am representing Klal Yisrael. On the one hand, very beautiful, because I am the symbol of the Ovis, of Klal Yisrael, the Sanhedrin. On the other hand, due to the Gulis, she had taken on a very frightening appearance." And in the kina, Rebbe Elazar Kale tells us that this woman, Klal Yisrael, beseeches Yirmiyahu HaNovi to daven to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to have rachmonis on Klal Yisrael. And Yirmiyahu HaNovi starts to daven. Soch leloikecho, daven to your God, va'ad makas soyara aniya, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, who's been afflicted, adyana keil v'yoy medaya, until the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will answer and say it's enough, v'yatzileini michere v'shivya, and will save Klal Yisrael from any further gulis. Carries on the kina, pillow to chinna lifnei koinoi. Yirmiyahu HaNovi starts to daven to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, mulei rachmim, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you're full of mercy, rachem ka'ov al benoi, have rachmunas on Klal Yisrael, as a father has mercy on his son. To which came back the answer from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, tzuak, the Rabbeinu Shem cried out, ma la'ov shehigla benoi, woe is to the father who's had to send his son into Gulis. I'd like to explain, what does this mean? On the one hand, we have Yirmiyahu HaNovi beseeching the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, please take back your children, Klal Yisrael. To which comes back the answer from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, ma la'ov shehiglas benoi, woe is to the father who had to send his son into Gulis. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes very famously in explaining the reason why the Gulis has carried on for so many years and so many centuries. And writes Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if the only Aveira which Klal Yisrael would be guilty of during the Gulis is the fact that they haven't been sufficiently misabel on the Chorban Beis HaMikdash and on Gulis HaShchina, this one Aveira in itself is sufficient a reason that Klal Yisrael should not be redeemed from Gulis. And this one reason in itself is sufficient a reason for all the suffering and the trials and tribulations which have befallen Klal Yisrael throughout the last 1,945 or 46 years of our Gulis. I'd like to explain a little bit how this is. There is a mushal which the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh once said as follows. There was a king who had a son, the crown prince, who unfortunately the crown prince didn't behave in a way which was befitting a member of the royal family. And he brought his father's name and his household into disrepute. And the king called in his son on a number of occasions, and he told him off. And he told him, "My son, you know who you are. You're son of the king. You're the crown prince. You have to change your behavior. I cannot allow you to behave in such a way." However, the prince took absolutely no notice and carried on the same way as before. The king couldn't take it any longer, and one day he called in the prince and he said to him, "My son, you're giving me no option. If you don't mend your ways, I'm going to be left with no option, but I'm going to have to banish you from the palace. I cannot have you behaving in such a way." But yet, the prince failed to take any notice of his father's words. And with a very, very heavy heart, the king sent his son into Gulis, into a faraway province in his country. The days stretched into weeks, and the weeks stretched into months. And the king was sure that very soon his son would soon learn the error of his ways and have charota. He was no longer anymore getting what he was accustomed to. He was no longer being driven around, chauffeur driven, and having all his needs attended to. Now he was having to struggle for himself. And the king was sure that soon there would come a letter from his son begging him for mechila and asking to take him back. However, the letter never arrived, and the months stretched on and on. And the king was becoming more and more worried. Every day he would wake up in the morning. The first thing he did was to check the postbox. Had a letter arrived from his son? And one day, with a heavy heart, the king realized that it appeared his son wasn't coming back. So what was he going to do? This was his crown prince. This was his entire future. The king had to somehow bring his son back. However, he couldn't just merely give in to him and allow him to come back home. Otherwise, he knew he would just carry on straight away as he'd been behaving before. He had to bring him home in such a way that it didn't appear as if the king had surrendered, as if he'd given in. So the king announced that he was going on a tour of his country, visiting various far-flung provinces where he'd never been before. And in every town and city, he'd be happy to meet the locals, and people could come to him and ask him for a request. And the king would consider the request, and perhaps, if they found favor in his eyes, would grant the request. And thus, the king made it appear as if he would be able to meet his son just as part of the tour, rather as this was the plan to bring his son back home. The king arrived in this far-flung province, and notices were hung up all over that the king would meet all the local people on this and this day, and whoever wanted to meet the king was free to do so. A large queue formed in the hall where the king was sitting. The king scanned the crowd anxiously to see was there any sign of his son. And eventually, after time, suddenly his heart skipped a beat. There at the back of the queue was his son. He was instantly recognizable because he was still wearing the beautiful purple robes of his princehood, which he'd had on the day he'd been sent into exile, although by now they were very shabby and worn and torn out. You can imagine, said the Baal Shem Tov, how the king saw what he felt as he saw his son. And his turn was coming closer and closer, and in a minute the king was going to be reunited with his son after so many months. And no doubt the son is going to fall at his father's feet and say to his father, "Please, Ovi Moiri, please be moichel me, please bring me back home." And as it came the son's turn, and he stood in front of his father, the king, his father said to him, "My son, how are you? Do you have a request? What do you want?" And the son said to his father, "Look, Tati, look at me. Look how I'm dressed. I'm dressed in these robes, these purple robes of the royal family. Look at everybody else around. They're all farmers. They're all dressed in sheepskin, with boots, with baggy trousers. I feel odd here, my surroundings. I don't blend in. Please, I'd like you to give me a sheepskin and a pair of boots, like everybody else has. Said the Baal Shem Tov, can you imagine the pain and the anguish of the father to hear the words of his son? He's come the whole way, especially here, to arrange this meeting with his son, to give the son an opportunity to ask his father to bring him back home. And what does the son say? He asks his father, please, father, give me the sheepskin and the boots and the baggy trousers to enable me to carry on staying in the gulas. Said the Baal Shem Tov, unfortunately, we are often, very often, guilty of the same aveira. It comes to davening, and instead of putting all our focus and our kavuna in the brucha of Yishalayim Icha Berachmim Toshiv, asking Hashem, please, Rabbi Yishalayim, take us out of this gulis. Please bring us back to Yishalayim. As Semach Dovid Avdecho Mehet Sasmiach. What happens is, we ask Rabbi Yishalayim, please, Rabbi Yishalayim, I need a new car. I need this new gadget, that new gadget. We ask Rabbi Hashem all types of things to make our sojourn in Gulis more pleasurable, more enjoyable. Can you imagine the tsar of the Rabbi Hashem? So we say in the kinnah, Ma le'ov shehiglis benoi. Woe to the father who has had to send his son into Gulis. This is what is known as Gulis Hashchina. We have to understand, what does it mean, Gulis Hashchina? By a human being can go into Gulis. He's sent out of his country, his town, his home. Yidden were exiled for Eretz Yisroel, but Eretz lo Elohim. They went into Gulis. Oh, but what is Shaykh, Bad Rabbi Nishlam, Gulis Hashchina? La Hashem ha'oritzim aloya. The Rabbi Nishlam, he owns, he has the entire world. What does it mean that Rabbi Nishlam is in Gulis? I want to share with you very moving words of the Tona Divei Eliyui, which was written by Eliyui Anovi. And he writes as follows. Meid ani olai shemayim v'oretz. Says Eliyui Hanovi, I am meid shemayim v'oretz. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yoshev v'metzapa lehem leYisroel. The Rabbi Nishloilam is waiting for Klal Yisroel. V'yoyse mimashe metzapa ha'ov livnoi. More than a father waits for his son to come home at the end of the day. V'ha isha lebala. And more than a wife waits for her husband to come home. More than that, the Rabbi Nishim is waiting. Shiyasi tshiva, that Klal Yisrael should do tshiva, kedei shigul oisam, that Rabbi Nishim should redeem them, the Yivlehem Beis Hamikdash, and should build them the Beis Hamikdash. Reb Chaim Falaji was one of the great Sfadish Gedoilim over 100 years ago, writes in his Sefer Moed Lekol Chai the following words. Heamanti ki adabe. You should believe me. Shebachol pam shani koyre hamama nechbed hazeh. Every time I read these words of the Tona Divei Eliyui, Eini, Eini yod amayim. My eyes shed tears. Eich yitochen, how can it be? The Melech HaKovid Eloikei Oilam Hashem Yizborach, the Rabbi Nishloilam, is Yoshev Metzapeluni, is waiting for us that we should do tshiva. The Einish Somalev, and nobody takes any notice. Carries on Reb Chaim Velazhi. One knows sometimes a father is told, his son tells him he's coming home at 8 o'clock in the evening. It comes 8 o'clock. There's no sign of his son. It turns 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. It's late at night. The father's frantic. He looks out the window. Where's my son? He hasn't come home. The wife, the husband told him he's going on a business journey. He'll be home Monday afternoon. Comes Monday, he's not home. Tuesday, Wednesday, there's no sign of him. The wife is beside herself. Where's my husband? What's happened to him? Says Reb Chaim Falaji, the same thing tells us the Tona Divei Eliyui. The Rabbi Yishloilam is Yoisa. More than a husband, a wife cries waiting for the husband. More than a father cries for the child, the Rabbi Yishloilam is Metzapa, is waiting. Ahu Hashem Mekim, says Reb Chaim Falaji, we have to realize what is called Tzar Shechina. The Rebbeinu Hashem is waiting for Klal Yisrael to wake up. I want to share with you the words which were said exactly 100 years today, Tisha B'Av Tufresh Ayin Dalad, by one of the great Rabbunim. His name was Rabbi Sucha Shloima Teichtal, Hashem Yimkom Dumoy, one of the great Poskim, lived in Czechoslovakia. He wrote a sefer called Mishnah Yisucha, just printed the first time from Ksav Yad, literally 2-3 years ago. And in there is a drusha which he said today, 100 years ago, Tisha B'Av Tufresh Ayin Dalad. We all know the First World War broke out this week, 100 years ago, Tisha B'Av, a day or two before Tisha B'Av. And in his sefer, Rav Teichtal speaks about the First World War, which had just broken out. And he says, he was a Rosh Bezdin. He says, ladies have been coming to Bezdin because the call-up had gone around already a week or two earlier, that all men had to report for military duty. And writes Rav Teichtal, when one goes to the train station, one is met by such heart-rending scenes. Parents are accompanying the young sons to the army, not knowing if they're ever going to come back again. And there's such heart-rending scenes, crying. Women are taking their husbands, seeing them off, not knowing if they're coming back again. Women have come to Bezdin, asking perhaps they could have a get, because they don't know if the husband's coming back again. Writes Rav Teichtal, he's wondering to himself, why did the Rabbeinu Shloilem make this world war should break out just now in these days of the 9 days? And he writes as follows, and unfortunately this is very applicable for all of us with the matzav, with the mechumah that we are now having, unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael. And he writes this same theme, that unfortunately when it comes to 9 days, and we are not misabel properly on Churban Yerushalayim, we are not properly misabel on the Churban Beis Hamikdash and the Gulis and the Tzar HaShechina. So the Rebbeinu Shalom needs to send us a wake-up call, that we should feel, what does it mean that the Rebbeinu Shalom is misabel on Yerushalayim Yoisa, even more than the person is misabel a husband on a wife on a husband, and father on children. So this is a lesson for each and every one of us. We have to take to heart the Gulis HaShechina. There's a famous story from the Rebbe Raburchu from Mezhvish. His Einiklich were once playing hide the seek. And after a time, one of the Einiklich had hidden himself. And he'd hidden himself in such a fantastic hiding place that none of the other children could find him. They looked high and low. And after 10 minutes, 20 minutes, they gave up. So they gave up and they went off to play a different game. Now this little child was sitting, squashed in his little hiding hole, was sitting there, rubbing his hand with glee. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. Nobody's found him. And after time, he gave up. And he emerges from his hiding hole. And what does he see? Everybody else has forgotten about him. They're busy playing a different game. They're going off to play football or whatever it is. They've long forgotten about him. He runs over to them. He says, what's going on here? I was hiding. Why are you not looking for me? They said, we looked. We gave up. He came running into his Zayde, the Rebbe Burchel, and he told him what happened. He'd been hiding and they weren't even looking for him. His Zayde heard it and he broke out into bitter tears. So he said, Zayde, why are you crying? It was only a game. Why are you crying? Said the Rebbe Burchel, when I heard your words, I suddenly realized. The Rebbeinu Shem tells us, state in the Torah, V'onoichi haste astes punai b'yoy mahi. The Rebbeinu Shem sees that comes a time, the Rebbeinu Shem needs to go into gulis, needs to go into hiding. The Rebbeinu Shem hides himself. The Rebbeinu Shem hides himself in order that we should realize the Rebbeinu Shem is in hiding and we need to go and look for the Rebbeinu Shloim. But what do we do? Instead of hiding, looking for the Rebbeinu Shem, we come along and we forget about the Rebbeinu Shem. We do other things instead. Now, the Zman from Tisha B'Av, the Zman from Chol Beis HaMikdash, is a time when we have to wake up and to realize that the Ikke Chobn is Gulis HaShchina, Ma La'ov Shehigles B'noi. Woe to the father who had to send his son into Gulis. And we have to ask Rabbein Shloilam, please Rabbein Shloilam, take us out of the Gulis, B'mheirev Yomeini, Omein.